The Coptic Pope Tawadros II has canceled public meetings due to security concerns in the wake of recent protests in Egypt. Deadly protests driven by the Muslim Brotherhood have erupted in the country since former President Mohamed Morsi was ousted on July 3rd. There are reports that attacks against Christians have increased since the protests began. UK Director of Aid to the Church in Need, Neville Kirk-Smith, was in Egypt at the time of the protests beginning. He told us that despite increased threats, Christians are still hopeful for the changes ahead.
I was in Egypt just actually visiting some of the projects supported by Aid to the Church in Need, and the timing was most interesting in the sense that I was actually there before and after the revolution. So I arrived there just as things were kicking off. So that was the 27th of June. I arrived in Cairo and was down by the presidential palace, actually, with some of the protesters, the anti-Morsi protesters, speaking to them, speaking to some of the Coptic Catholic priests, and speaking to Patriarch Ibrahim, the Coptic Catholic patriarch also, asking about the situation. And it was a fascinating time to actually be in Cairo, to see the protesters, to see at that stage what was building up, really, and the expectation which was in the air that what was going to take place was going to be bigger than the 25th of January 2011 revolution. People's expectations were that really there would be a change in government. And a change, I think, in general, for the better for Christians, the 8 to 10 million Christians that there are in Egypt, and also a change really for the poor, and a change in better for society and for the economy. So many hopes going into change, of course, some of which can't be fulfilled. What I found was fascinating was also, certainly from the Catholic perspective, was the extraordinary hope of the young people I met. I went to one parish which was quite extraordinary for me. Seven Youth Legion of Mary groups meet twice a week at the parish of Holy Family in Zaytun in Cairo, and I met some of these really amazing young Catholics, probably a bit like, you know, something out of World Youth Day. And I think the comments I got time again from people there was, you know, we love Egypt, we love God, we are Christians, we are Egyptians, and we wish to remain here. And certainly, you know, the sense of the young Christian community there was, we feel a strength together in the church. Some time and again they said to me, it's our home, it's part of our life here in Egypt. And despite everything going on in the background, when I was in Cairo, when I was in Assyut visiting Christian communities, and when I was in Luxor, it was the same theme that came through, the extraordinary strength of the Christian community. That's not to take away from the fear and the anxiety that's there at the moment with the attacks which you will have heard about, but a sense of hope and trust in God, which I think, Anne, was quite extraordinary, really, for me to find and discover in the midst of political turmoil.
Now, as you had mentioned, while there is this sense of hope, there are still these persecutions that are going on against the Christians. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, certainly. There were these sense. I mean, when I talking to the Coptic Catholic bishop in Luxor, Yannis Zakaria, he's a good friend of ours at Aid to the Church in Need, and we've had him over here to Westminster give talks and so on. And when I was staying with him, the protesters were going past, both the pro-Morsi and anti-Morsi protesters. I was out in the streets in the center of Luxor, keeping just clear of trouble, but saw people fetching clubs to go and join in fights. There was a military helicopter overhead. And I said to Bishop Jonas, whose residence had been firebombed a few years ago, and they tried to burn it down, you know, are you afraid? And he said, no, I always answer the door to everyone. I'm prepared. And yet, just a few days later, and I visited a parish just outside of Luxor, this village parish of Rezegat, where things seemed peaceful, but not far away from there, in another parish in the Luxor region, there was an attack which it resulted in 23 homes being burnt down and also in three people being killed. And these attacks continue. There have been attacks. There have been some deaths, the death of one Coptic Orthodox priest. There have been kidnappings. There have been the markings up of Christian houses in some areas, especially in Minya. And in Sinai, some of the Christian communities have actually moved out after the threats. So it's a very tense situation. Father Rafi Grech, the spokesman for the Coptic Catholic Patriarch, he was saying there have almost been sort of daily attacks and daily targeting of Christians. And this seems to have picked up even more in recent times. But despite that, I heard the other day from a bishop, Coptic Orthodox bishop here in London, Bishop Angelos, and he was saying, don't get it wrong, don't be misled by what you read in the media. This is not a coup, this is a revolution, and we Christians are now more hopeful than we were before that we'll have the freedoms we wish for. And indeed, the Christians are probably going to take part in the discussions on the Constitution. So it is a time of turmoil. It's quite a dramatic walking down around the streets in Luxor. I stopped and spoke to this guy at a motorbike repair shop, and I was with this deacon from the parish. And this guy, he said, oh, where are you from? I said, I'm from England. And he said, look, he said, you know, after every revolution, there is pollution. We have seen what the Muslim Brotherhood are like. That is good, we have seen. Now we can move on. But he said, rather unnervingly, and he said, there is no change without bloodshed, as the Bible says. Now, I don't know whether he was a Christian or not, but that's the feeling, that there will be a time of violence, that will be targeting of different communities, not just the Christian community. You have to remember, in Egypt, there are actually 10 million Sufis as well, and they are certainly not loved by the Muslim Brotherhood at all. And we saw with the terrible beheading of four Shiites just before the revolution, what could happen what could have happened if the Muslim Brotherhood had remained in power with a sort of fanatical theocracy really forming and taking over. And that, I think, was the fear across society. And the 22 million plus who signed the Tamarud petition calling for the overthrow of President Morsi were actually looking as far as they could in a developing democratic way, one which we don't understand here in the West, but they were looking for a change where people would have the rights and the minorities would have the rights, even large minorities like the Christians. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think there have been some appalling clashes. There have been deaths, such as in that village near Luxor, in Dubai village. And each day there are reports of attacks and targeting and, indeed, tragic kidnappings. And I think it's not going to get better for a time. And we've got a bit of a standoff at the moment, obviously, with the Muslim Brotherhood protests in Cairo. But I think overall the message from Patriarch Ibrahim and the message from Bishop Kyrillos William I met in Assyut was, you know, please pray for us, please remember us. This is the land where our Lord came. If you have to, you know, the flight to Egypt means that we have a sense of a sense of survival here through times of trial and tribulation, and we need your prayers and understanding at the moment.
All right, well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak about this. Is there anything else you would like to add that you think our listeners should know about with regard to the situation on the ground in Egypt?
I think overall, I would say that there's some tremendous inspirational Christians there, and often, you know, it's the old thing where the church is suffering or under fire. It's actually a real witness to us and encouragement in our own faith. I spoke to one young priest in a parish who is doing extraordinary things, and he told a lovely story. He's about age 36, Father John Paul Johannopoulos, and I said to him, look, you're ordained. What did you think you're going to do when you're ordained? And he's running a fantastic parish with 300 children coming to a Sunday school in this tiny parish of Zarabi near Assyut. And he said, oh, my father said to me before I was ordained, I would not trust a priest who's too clean. If he doesn't get his hands dirty, he will not understand the people. And he was an extraordinary priest living in a sort of very basic terrace or above the church, like the gallery above the church, inside the church with no running water. He goes and helps build this pastoral center. He goes out to visit the Muslims and goes to see his friends and know some of the Salafists in his village. And he goes to the Muslim funerals and Muslim weddings. And he said, I'm here for all God's people. And on the feast days of Our Lady, the Muslims come also to be with us. And I think it's that idea, which I would say from my other trips in the Middle East, in Lebanon and elsewhere, that in fact the church can be the building block in society, can be there for everyone, and that God's love is there for all people. And at the end, when I left Bishop Joanna's Zachariah in Luxor. I said, is there one message? He said, yes, please say, we're praying for everyone, for all the people of Egypt. We're not against Muslims, we are for everyone. We pray for our Muslim brothers and sisters that we may all live in peace and faith.